Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ryan Wood writes for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and right here on the Wendy's Big Show joins us during the football season, joins us now, wrap up Packers minicamp. Ryan, appreciate the time as always. His latest story is up at 105.7FMTheFan.com, and Ryan writing about how the defense has definitely surpassed the offense here in the early stages of the offseason programs.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was pretty telling because at the end of Wednesday's practice, Matt LaFleur kind of scooted his scooter over. He's still recovering from that torn Achilles, and he kind of lamented on the sloppiness. I mean, in 5 2-minute drills during minicamp, and that's about the closest. I mean, it's still not real football without the pads, but that's about the closest they can get to. In 5 2-minute drills, the offense got all of 3 points on a 41-yard Mason Crosby field goal. You're not used to seeing that. I mean, this time of year without the pads, the offense is usually ahead. And so that was already kind of interesting. And then none other than Brian Bulaga, who has seen as much Packers football as just about anybody in that locker room, said that was the first time in his 10 years here that he can remember this time of year the defense being ahead of the offense. So, you know, it's not sound the alarms. I mean, one big difference, even though the offense usually is ahead of the defense this time of year, one big difference is, of course, the offense is implementing a new system, whereas the defense is in year two with Mike Pettine, and even though there's some pretty significant newcomers on that side of the ball at some pretty important positions, it's still year two, and they have a basis for which to build on, whereas the offense is really putting that in now. But it's probably better than the alternative, given that the defense is in year two. You probably want them to be ahead right now, but it's a change from what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Ryan. I don't think it's cause for alarm. I think you're right. You hit it on the head. This defense is year two in this defense, and most certainly the defense is always ahead of it. This is the first time that they've really gone through this offense, pretty new. I guess my big question, can you play that for Ryan Wood real quick with Matt LaFleur comments that he made? Because Matt LaFleur came out with a comment the other day, and we played. I just want to get your thought on what you think about this when you hear this.
He's played the game a certain style for his whole career, and he's done it at a pretty high level. So I think, you know, just some of the things that he's been able to really enhance within our offense has been, you know, a lot of fun to watch. You saw like that off-schedule play that he made down in the red zone. He made another one to Jake Kumerow where, you know, I didn't anticipate the ball going where it went, but that's where it went, and, you know, it was a touchdown. So, you know, we never want to take that playmaker away from him.
Your thoughts on that? Because I thought that was part of the problem that they had with McCarthy and him and all this kind of
stuff. Oh, that was a huge part of the problem. I mean, he was always off schedule. I think there's a big difference between being always off schedule, which is what you saw last year,
okay,
and being sometimes off schedule. I mean, there's a huge difference,
okay,
between the two.
I love that. Say it again now.
So here's the thing.
All right.
I think both sides are going to have to, they're learning each other, and it's going to be a compromise. It's not going to be all one way or the other. And what I mean by that is, if you look at that Shanahan-McVay offense, there's not a lot of deviation built into it. It's run the play, be on time. That's really, really, I mean, the quarterback might have a play or two that he can check into given the look at the line of scrimmage, but it's nothing like the latitude that Aaron Rodgers has had over the past several years. That's not going to be the way Matt LaFleur, even with Matt Ryan, he's never had Aaron Rodgers. So it's going to be different for him than in the past, and I think he's learning that. But for Aaron Rodgers, there is a big difference between always off schedule and sometimes off schedule, and it's not going to be the way that it was entirely in the past for him either. He's got to also learn to run the play as it's seen sometimes, and to be on time and hit the right receiver at the right time, and not, you know, backyard football it, which, hey, he's great at doing. I mean, we've some of his best plays, the play in Dallas to Jared Cook in the playoffs, and that's backyard type football. You don't want to take that away from it entirely. So it's a learning process for both coach and quarterback. And if it works well, what you'll have this fall is a really good collaboration between a good offensive scheme and a quarterback that can balance between that playbook and then when things break down, make something out of nothing, which we've seen Rodgers do at his very best before. If it doesn't, you're looking at a headache.
As of right now, Ryan Wood, training camp hasn't started, but as of right now, is Jamon Moore below the cut line?
I haven't looked at the 53. I couldn't tell you. He's below Jay Kumerow and Trevor Davis, who are probably below Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown. So right there, that's six. If they keep seven, maybe Jamon Moore. I mean, he's on the bubble. He needs a good camp. He needs a good offseason. He made one good catch on the sideline. I believe it was during the two-minute drill. He had the two-minute drill, the move-the-ball drill, which, if you're wondering what the difference is basically there's no scoreboard activated during the move-the-ball. They're just kind of running plays up and down the field. He made a good sideline. He would behoove himself to have a really good camp. He's certainly not where the two guys that came in with him last year are. He wasn't there last year, and he hasn't been there this offseason.
Talking with Ryan Wood here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Is it safe to say, Ryan, that MVS has clearly surpassed the other two rookies from last year at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, clearly. That might be a touch strong. When they go with their preferred 11 on offense, which is the 11 package with three receivers and a tight end, the three receivers are Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Those are the three guys. And Equanimeous St. Brown's repped a lot with the one, so that's where I wouldn't say there's a great chasm between the two. But that's been your 11 package. So, I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling is atop that pecking order of those three second-year guys. And we'll see if that lasts. I mean, so much can change once the pads go on. And that, to me, not just a receiver, but at the roster at large, that to me is going to be the most interesting thing, is how much do we see as far as the depth chart from the spring changes early in camp? I mean, is there any deviation? Is it a matter of they feel really good about their 11 on both sides of the ball? They're going to stick with that for a while? I don't know. It's hard to read with a new head coach, and we're going to find that out. There's that caveat, and it kind of comes with an asterisk, but right now that's been their 11 package.
Rodgers loves him some Kumerow, he tells everybody. He also loves him some Robert Tonyan, just like Leroy Butler does. But meanwhile, you've got vets that seemingly are in front of him. How does Tonyan play into this?
It's a good question, because not only the vets, but the Packers did not draft Jay Sternberger in the third round to be behind undrafted Robert Tonyan for very long, you wouldn't think. So I think Robert Tonyan has put him in a place where if they keep four tight ends, and there's every indication that could, he's on the 53. I think that long term he's the fourth in that pecking order, which means that special teams are going to be as important, really more important than anything he does as a tight end. He's got to be able to be a teams guy. He's with Mercedes Lewis not around the team much because of an excused absence this spring. Robert Tonyan's gotten a lot of first team reps. You know, Jay Sternberger's been learning the offense and acclimating, transitioning to the next level, which has allowed Robert Tonyan to step in there with the ones at times, and certainly the twos when Jimmy Graham's been in there with the ones. So, that's really invaluable repping for a young guy like that who is just wants the opportunity to show what he can do.
Yeah, I really think he's going to be a pretty good player once he gets his feet on the ground. But I want to ask about this safety position, because I'm a little nerve-wracking. My nerves are a little bit uneasy because of Josh Jones. But not only that, it seems like three players, they're kind of similar. And it would seem like they're going to have to move somebody. I don't know if it's Josh Jackson. I don't know. Somebody has to go back to safety if for some reason he doesn't play. What was the controversy about Josh Jones, about whether he showed up? Because I know it was voluntary. So was he actually a holdout, or is it just he wants to get traded? What's going on with him?
No, well, he clearly he wants to get traded. That's been ESPN's reporting, and I mean, it's pretty obvious if you pay attention that's what the goal is. It reminds me a lot. I think Clinton Dix a year ago was disgruntled, and this never came out officially, but it was disgruntled with the fact that he's on a fifth-year option as a first-round pick, and he wanted some contract negotiations that weren't happening, so he didn't show up until minicamp. He missed the voluntary OTAs. Players do this. I mean, it's not uncommon because it's a good way to get your message across. You know, if it's voluntary, it means that they can't take out your paycheck, which means that you have the option of coming or not. It's notable because even if it is voluntary, you and I both know it's not really, I mean, they can't say it, but it's involuntarily voluntary. You know, I mean, everyone else on the team is there. And for a young guy like Josh Jones, and you're taking a big risk because at that stage in your career, you're supposed to be there competing for a job. You're
let me tell you what they told me. Now here's kind of the gray area. If it's a new coach, be there. Okay. But in his defense, he doesn't have a new coach. He got the same coordinator. But the head coach supersedes that. You would think, right, Gary? Would you think? You would think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so if the new coach is there, whether you want to get traded or not, you come in, and then within all the confines of meetings, you just kind of let these guys know, what's my role? If my role is the same, then do I have a future here? There's nothing wrong with that. But I just think putting these messages out there that he wants to be traded was the wrong – whoever leaked it, doesn't matter. I think it was the wrong thing to do because Savage is going to start and play there. And I think if that's the case, then, you know, they may not have a room – may not have room for him unless it's on special teams. But, he was a high draft pick.
Well, here's the way to think of it, okay? So you're right. Darnell Savage Jr. and Adrian Amos are going to be the two starting safeties in their base and in their nickel. They're going to be back. But Josh Jones could have still had a role in this defense, specifically in that hybrid role, that kind of nickel linebacker role. And what we've seen this spring is Raven Green getting those reps instead. And the Packers like Raven Green. They think he's a smart football player, which if you read between the lines, what has been Josh Jones' biggest issue here is that he blows assignments. I mean, that's been the biggest issue. Josh Jones is 220 pounds, runs 4.4 flat. He's got all the size and the speed that you could possibly want. He blows assignments, and that's a huge issue when you're playing on the back end at safety. You can't be a safety and blow assignments consistently. So what has happened? Well, this spring, Raven Green's gotten all those snaps instead of Josh Jones being here and fighting for whatever opportunity, whatever role is still available. That's where the relationship deteriorates even more because he misses that opportunity to compete for a job. Now, Raven Green looks like that hybrid guy, and we'll see what happens in training camp, like I said, but that's the issue.
I have two position battle questions, I guess, to ask you, and you can answer them in any order you'd like. One is kicker with Crosby, and second is backup quarterback. How do both of those competitions look so far?
Well, as far as kicker, it's only a competition if Mason Crosby completely crumbles in camp, which I would think is unlikely. They were kind of neck and neck during the OTA minicamp portion. If this thing is anywhere near close, it's going to be Mason Crosby. You just can't replace the experience and the institutional knowledge, not just of kicking at this level, which obviously Mason Crosby has a lot of, but kicking at Lambeau at this level. It's just such a unique place. And Mason Crosby, over the long course of his career, he has had some dips, yes. He had a rough 2018, yes. Over the long course of his career, he has mastered Lambeau Field as well as anybody. He's been very good at home. And that's huge when you fancy yourself to be a contending team, as long as Aaron Rodgers is quarterback, they are. And you're going to be playing a lot of late season important games. You got to have a guy who's money in that type of environment. So because of that, there's just such an uphill battle for Sam Ficken that, I mean, Mason Crosby would really have to mess up to lose that job. As far as backup quarterback, they got the same guys as last year.
Boyle is the quarterback. Gary introduced me to him last Saturday.
I mean, it's the situation on the surface. We'll see what happens when the pads come on. It doesn't seem to have gotten any better. They're the same guys.
Right.
And until it does, I mean, backup quarterbacks will be a huge question mark on this team. I think the two biggest question marks on this team is backup quarterback, and if David Bakhtiari has to miss a snap, who in the world is at left tackle? It's Jason Spriggs, but, I mean, can you imagine if David Bakhtiari has a camp injury, isn't ready for week one? That'd be about the worst-case scenario, because then you have Jason Spriggs blocking Khalil Mack. So they've got to have David Bakhtiari healthy. They've got to have Aaron Rodgers healthy. Those are the two indispensable guys, because the backup situation at both those spots is far from ideal.
Ryan, appreciate it, man. A month and about a week until training camp starts up. Enjoy summer vacation, and we'll talk soon, all right?
Oh, yeah. Summer vacation will be wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. You guys as well.
Take it easy. Ryan Wood joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our Green and Gold insider up there working for PackersNews.com. Buy Ryan Wood on Twitter. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.